Thank you very much. First, I think as we begin the meeting, let's acknowledge the fact that we might have started the week on a little sad note with the departure of one of the veterans of one liberation struggle, Mama Ruth Mabatu, and may his soul rest in eternal peace. But also, we must say that as a portfolio committee, we must also be starting this meeting and the entire budget process again on an unfortunate note, and I think at some point the committee will have to find time and deal with the situation, because it can't avoid it with this bad news that we continuously hear from different quarters about the potential or planned job losses in the mining industry, which I think is not good news for all of us as honorable members. Although it's not for today, we will have to ponder in our own individual, but also areas of our political deployment as to what contribution can we make as a committee on trying to mitigate situations of this nature for the sake of the country and our economy. And on that note, as we come, we are going back to a particular state of normality, which is going back to the committee work. And thank you very much for the work done in relation to the budget processes. And we might have done very well, all of us. And lastly, let's congratulate the, what do you call it, Honorable, the Federal Congress of the Democratic Alliance that has taken place. We don't have to agree with you, but it's a fact that you've been through a high decision-making body, and I'm sure you are fresh to make a meaningful contribution, not just to this country, but to the country. And I think let's congratulate you for having your conversations to that. On that note, honorable members, can we move any apologies?
Good morning, members and the guests. I've got an apology from, sending apology from Honorable Malena. She will be back after the 13th of June. And I've got an apology from Honorable Jack that he's attending another meeting.
Okay. You know, Honorable Malena, in 1995, Honorable beginning. In Bishop, no, 97, in Bishop, when they started to do an audit of who was at work, they did the audit, and they passed through one office. They then realized that since 1994, there's been a jacket sitting on the desk, and every time someone opens up, says that someone is at work. I hope that jacket, there will be someone in that seat. No, yeah, after you. there will be someone before we end the meeting. Because they realized that man only came in 1994 for less than a week, and he put the jacket and it is gone. So every time they come, they think that there is someone in the office because they see the jacket. So.
No, Mr. Chair, I think he said he went to get his glasses.
Oh, okay. That's one thing we can't congratulate because it means there's a decline.
Possibly with that goes wisdom.
Okay. On that note, having gone through the apologies, it's not my item. It's supposed to be a standard item. The agenda or the program, whatever we call it, is as follows. The presentation by the State Diamond Trader, then questions of clarity, and discussions. Let me also state by say I will give a background first on the mandate that the committee has given to me and how far we have gone, and particularly on the basis of the questions asked to the committee. I will give that background to what work has been done up until so far. And honorable members will remember what I said last time. Anyway. Then after that, it will be the consideration and adoption of minutes. And then it will be the announcement. That might be necessary for the committee. Is there anyone who moves the adoption of the agenda? Honorable Mandel.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to move for the adoption of the agenda as outlined. Thank you.
Any second? Honorable President. No, don't wish. You must have it. Okay, Honorable Kiginene is seconded. On that note, Honorable Members, you will recall, I don't want to go to background beyond, that in the presentation on the budget in 2014, there was a question asked to the entity, the State Diamond Trader. On that note, they did give us a response. In the response given, it was clear that it was not a response that was responding to the actual question, and that was put back to them. And subsequently, again, another response was given, which did not, again, was of the view that it's not responding to the question, and honourable members will remember, it did not even present it here. And on the basis of that, in the DRRR processes, in our discussion, when they raised issues of legal concerns on what they were supposed to submit to the committee, we then stated to them that it may not have been a correct platform to raise that issue here. We still require the information as to the decision of the committee. If there is any other matter, then they will submit that in relation to what they would have done. I can safely say that subsequent to that, they did give us a response. In the response, they also gave us a legal opinion, which was contained for the consumption of the committee. And on that note, I was also given a decision was also taken by the committee that as a chairperson I must refer the matter of that legal opinion to the parliamentary legal for parliamentary legal advice, which is something that subsequently was done. But based on the fact that there were two areas that were an area of contestation in the legal opinion. The legal opinion from the State Diamond Trader, which I think I won't go to the other details with this, with what I have. It was on what then was the concluding part of it. We said, let me read this again. I read this one. The question that remains to be answered is that, is the State Diamond Trader obliged to disclose the kind of information requested? The writers of the opinion that if there is a rational connection between the request and the purpose for which the information will be used, then the information can be dispersed, provided that such conduct will not infringe on the statutory provision discussed above. The committee must advise on the basis, the reason for the request, and what was it intended to action for. At this stage, and in the absence of reason and purpose, the State Diamond Trader has no legal obligation to comply. Now, that became a legal opinion that they gave us, which we then had to ask for our parliamentary legal advice. I must say that at that point, the State Diamond Trader also, in that legal opinion, which I think I won't go into details of the fact, it also said if that information is to be supplied, the burden, the committee must take full liability for the summarizing, for the consequences thereof. And we took that also, including their legal advice, which I think is important to deal with. We took that together with the legal advice. Having presented to the committee without going into the details of the legal advice, it became apparent that we were moving towards a deadlock because our legal advice was even worse than what that legal advice was saying. And I would say, where was the where was the problem, which unfortunately I'm saying we never shared with the state administration post that process. We then resolved as a committee that the best method is to find a route that does not throw papers at each other, to say to what extent can we be able to negotiate that information that we think is best for the work of the committee outside the legal opinion. The last part of the legal opinion is what became a worrying factor, and I must read now for honorable members, it's point 10. It says, from what is stated above, I'm of the opinion that the committee may request that the committee conduct a closed meeting when it receives the information from the state demonstrator. If the closure of the meeting is approved, if the closure of the committee is approved, the provision of the National Assembly, which is Rule 152.2, must be complied with. The state demonstrator can then be invited to provide the information to a closed meeting of the PC. Now, that then became the problem, that if we were to ask for a closed meeting, it's like there is a huge something that it has to be done. But also it will require motivation because it's not the committee that can declare, the National Assembly. It will require. That's when we went back and then to sit and say, this is the information that we want. What is it? And on those basis, I'm sure with the recent and latest response that the state demonstrator has provided, it is up to the committee, but we think, I won't say 100%, but almost 80% of what the committee has asked for under those circumstances is what, and we have then said, instead of us, because we're not asked for any information, instead of us reading what is their response, the latest one, and the supplied information, let them, before they present on the actual and the main purpose of them presenting, talk to their response in relation to the request of the committee as of latest in terms of information supply. So I thought I must give that background so that on my side, as a chairperson of the committee, I tried my level best to make sure that a certain milestone is at least covered at this stage. So that's why then we requested that before they make that presentation on the actual, they will then talk to their response and then go to the presentation. And amongst the issues then that the committee will have to deliberate on, it will be on the information that is supplied, but also in relation to the actual presentation that also covers the response. So that is on those. I thought it's important to give that background at this moment. I'm not talking to the response, I'm just giving a background. The response is a subject of discussion and question to members. Honorable Smith?
I'm not sure whether you want to discuss it now or whether you want to discuss it later.
No, I'm just giving the background. Honorable members have got the right to make an opinion on the background. But in terms of, that's why I'm saying, the substantive matter, in terms of the contents of their response, I think it must be form part of what they do submit. Another question?
Can I just say, I haven't seen any document in this regard. first issue would be, if one wants to debate something, you need the content to be able to debate. So I haven't seen any of those opinions. I don't think that the lawyer has been. So we're in a very difficult position to debate anything, the documents of which we haven't seen. But having said that, the point of departure should be, we have a state-owned entity which is, on the face of it, refusing to give information to the portfolio company. It's the oversight role of the portfolio company to oversee the functions of the state-owned entity. There are various problems with this, the state diamond trader, I don't think which is now relevant. But the more concerning question is, what is the effect of the state-owned entity being able to say to a portfolio company, listen, in respect of an issue which is, I suppose, one of importance in terms of consummation, in terms of accountability, in terms of transformation, in terms of the goal for which the state diamond trader was established, to measure the goal and the purpose and the function, and then say, listen, we cannot judge you, we cannot oversee your execution of that particular purpose, role or function, because you can't give us the figures. There's a mining charge on his way, there's a report of the mining charge on his way. So if the state-owned entity is entitled to tell this portfolio committee, listen, you're not giving me the figures, just consider, I'm not saying what, I don't know what the impact is, I haven't considered it because I haven't seen the documents. Just consider what the impact can be on mining companies saying, listen, state-owned entity don't want to give me figures, how do you expect me to give figures? I'm asking the question, I don't know what the answer is, and I don't want to give an indication as to possible scenarios, but that is a consequence of how this portfolio committee deals with this question. Because then the question remains what a private entity can tell this portfolio committee as to how far it is legally bound to provide information to this portfolio committee. And I ended with that question, because then the precedent has been set, and I'd like to see how you argue your way around that. But he hasn't made that. I reserve for the comment that I still haven't seen his documents.
Look, I don't have a problem. Generally, in my experience so far, I don't want to go back. Even in the last legal opinion that was sought, I never thought we were supposed to speculate. But this member is really not speculating. I don't think it's a big deal. You can give you the legal opinion. It's not a big deal. Because we plan to be chairperson of the committee. We thought we must deal because what the committee mandated, the chairperson, was to deal with the legal opinion that was coming from the state diamond trader. And I think the point then is not what the state diamond trader says. It's what our own legal opinion says. Our own legal opinion brings a matter that is not on the, it's not even on the equation now. It brings an issue, and this is why we ask that question, is that the route we want to take? And if we take that route, that's when then as a chairperson I was mandated, let's rather engage the state diamond trader outside these legal frameworks that this one says this, this one says this, because now we're talking on paper. That was the mandate. And when we talk to that, I thought when we deal then with the substantive response of the state diamond trader, we will then talk to how far does it take us in relation to what was asked. Not that they've not complied. Maybe now we'll ask whether they've complied fully or not fully. That's why I said the substantive matters of the response, we can deal with them when we deal with their response and presentation. The issue, though, is that our own legal opinion raises an issue, which I must say as a chair, I'm absolutely uncomfortable on it, that we must go to a closed committee meeting. That for me, if we really would talk about being an open and transparent government, then I don't see why we should pretend as if that. Now the problem, we're not even driven by their own legal opinion. We're driven by our own. And honestly speaking, I don't think that's why we raise that issue before we even just go and talk to them and see to what extent can you get that information. So I would have thought that members, when they get the information, they will then look at it. How sufficient does it take us to perform the duties that you are talking about in terms of the oversight responsibility? How much do they, is it complying with what we have requested as a committee? But in relation to what is supposed to happen, unfortunately we are constrained by our own legal opinion. And as I said upfront, I'm absolutely uncomfortable to go to in committee, which means there are people that must not be in the meeting, and we must only be the committee that remains in the house to deal with the mess. I don't think that it will reflect good to the committee. That is why that intervention, that's why I'm saying, for now, that's how far I've gone in terms of the intervention, outside the legal opinion of both parties, being the committee or the state administrator. We have tried to find a middle road that can make us avoid all their concerns and our concerns as a committee. Honorable Mandela, Honorable Pekinem.
Thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, we have adopted an agenda that is outlined.
Let's hear there.
It's working, Chair. It can reach. And we've gone through point number one on the agenda and point number two. We ought to move on to point number three, which is presentation by the State Diamond Trade. They are here and ready with their presentation. We appreciate the briefing and the clarity of the background, but I think what is on the agenda before us is the presentation awaited by the State Diamond Trader, and without any other delays, we would like to proceed in that regard. Thank you.
Honorable Beginning.
Thank you very much. Chair, thanks for the information here. This is, we have done what you asked me, we asked you to do. And therefore, thanks for the report. Now, then when you've done your work, and now the response is before us, so let's really complete with the way. So support now there.
Okay. Can we allow the State Diamond Trader to make the presentation? Let's allow honorable members to, on the issue of the questions of clarity and discussions, it will include the response of the State Diamond Trader on relation to the question that was initially asked by the committee. It will include that in totality. And then we'll make opinions on the basis of what we have discussed and resolves on as a committee. On that note, CEO, it's up to you, and we will then, as well, requested you and in our discussion, you can then lead the committee first on the. There's something is called the point and limit. I'm not sure whether this is the point in limit or on the preliminary part of your presentation. That is in relation to the initial question that was asked.
Thank you for the opportunity to come back to the committee and give present in particular to present on the issues that have been outstanding
that we keep that information on the basis that we would that we're not publicize that information, especially when it comes to rent and send and because also security reasons around them and their businesses. And so to that extent, I was then directed by the board also to rather give me an opinion on what needs to be done. Because the board took a view that the committee is entitled to information from the state government, right? We all took that view. And they said that that information, to the extent that it is about available to submit. The only point of concern was around this of the commercial information of the size, being business people, some on the local and others the international and others being, you know, out there. And so hence we went for the legal opinion. I know that you have read the concluding remark on the legal opinion, and in the background that you just given, you also went through to the further legal opinion that the committee court based on our response at that time. And despite that, we have now come through and said, you know, this is what the legal opinion says, and then saying to the committee, while consent, you know, should and could have been or should have been obtained from the owners of the information, to then to be used to process locally. It's that step, you know, in terms of what we then submitted to the committee. And the list, therefore, that we submitted, which I believe all honorable members have been given the list. And I'm going to ask, respectfully ask committee members to then open this document. It looks like this. That is the list of the clients of the state government. And in that case, as honorable members will see, it's actually segmented in terms of how we segment our sciences of, you know, now, as of last year, where we have growth and transformation segments, we have a cultural access segment, and then we have a mission and large and medium beneficiaries, as well as just the one which was the PPP. Now, we've also indicated, you know, how much of this company status in that list. And all people that have been pushed forward by the companies and the owners and the people that we then contact all the time when we deal with these companies. And so here is the list checker that also indicates to what extent these companies are informed and as the applicable legislation is essential, you know, in terms of their BA status. And as you can see, that there's a number that are in the HDFA and others that could range from 0 to 26%, 29%. 40% in terms of the BEE and shows it that they have in their companies. All of the checks and I am certain that in going through this list, provided the information that was required, but they don't say that at the end. I believe that any of the members of the to go on, as I have indicated, there is a segmentation and there are sales strategy and the other things. So this line is, you know, in terms of our allocation of policies, we will approve policies for the state administration. The next slide contains a lot of information, and this is already published information. It indicates a second, the trading patterns and the trading information, the segments of this client. You'll see that the segments at the top have large, medium, mandates, niche, and other. And so the new segmentation, which is that it's from last year, which is that we have also relooked our sales strategy as we wanted to ensure that there's more intense results. So this is how they've performed over the previous two financial years, not the one that has just ended, because we should be with the report from the time on the performance. And as you can see, it's given, you know, quite a lot of information around the sales and the margins and what has happened with the client. The other question that the state administrator on the responsibility was asked to talk to us was the question on the amount of rock diamonds that have beneficiated in South Africa. We have looked at this question in depth, and as honorable members of the court, the state administrator in terms of the legislation, you can only access a percentage of diamond sales in this country. And by proclamation, that was said to be up to 10%, as stated in the next slide. That's one of the biggest numbers of that. But in terms of trying to get the amount, the entire beneficiation in this country, it is not an easy thing to do. We have established that. One, they are not compelled as beneficiaries to give us this information. The bigger beneficiaries, as honorable members may recall or may know, are stakeholders. And by and large, you know, they are not our clients. Some now and again become our clients and we sell to them, but they are not our priority at all. And so it's not easy to get information even from them. And but also sometimes, just generally, even if it's very easy, it often takes quite a long time for some of the stones who really be beneficiated, and by the time we get information from anyone to their past, you know, sometimes in that stones we, you know, get informed this is what has happened to the stones, and it's going back and forth outside the country for polishing elsewhere where it's better or more skills to do so. But what we are therefore saying about is having established that we have such challenges, we are saying that we can only estimate what our clients beneficiate from the sales that we make to them. Then again, with those sales, there is the whole issue of climate mind, as well as the 80-20 rule, you know, which is part of their record, that they are supposed to beneficiate 80% of what they purchase from us, which ever so often is also on a run of mind basis, and so it gets even more difficult. Therefore, we cannot get this information as first. We need to go out, and it's in our 5-year strategic plan. And look at how we promote and market the industry. While at the same time, looking at what we've identified as areas of amendment, that this area of collecting information might well work better if then there is it's made a compliance area for beneficiaries that they need to report that on what they've beneficiated, so that will help us in terms of our milestones as well. It is a constraint for us. My sense is easier to talk to the smaller clients because they buy this source. But we want the full spectrum of what is going on with the stones that are placed in our store. We've identified this as an area not just for strategy and spending or change, but as an area for legislative amendments. And we're looking at it at this point in time, we're looking at how something like this can be done, bearing in mind all the other regulations and rules around the handling of diamonds, and particularly the rough diamonds in this country and elsewhere. The next slide is talking is that one, as I mentioned, about 10%, up to 10%, which are just within the ambit of what we can easily say we can, this is where we can start. But then there is a whole world out there which supports the promotion and beneficiation locally, and hence therefore identified this as an area that requires amendment. It has been not easy to buy, you know, the up to 10% or get close to 10%. This is only one of the years where we were able to get to 7 or 8%. But at this point in time, getting, you know, with a run of mind, it just gives us a hard time in terms of them saying we can buy the 8-10%, because no one wants to buy run of mind. So most of our clients, particularly the small ones and HBSA ones, do not buy from us on a run of mind basis. The basis on which or in which we're supposed to buy, and we are buying from mining companies. So to the extent that we now want to make sure that we combine things, we combine legislative amendments and our strategy input into what is going on and making sure that we are able to extend our footprint and, you know, as the beneficiaries, the local beneficiation in this country and elsewhere. We are finalizing, you know, our desktop market research. We're looking at whatever has been said and written about diamonds and diamond trading and beneficiation in this country and elsewhere. And that will help us to now understand where we are and what it is that we can do going forward further than what we already have. We are hosting the endeavor, but at the same time, we have said that we need a strategy to grow in the industry. We will open up access to, you know, to international and local platforms where our clients can exhibit and can sell and can network and can access better markets for themselves so that the industry can grow. Because without such exposure, without such networking and market access, it's going to be very difficult for the small players, you know, the diamond sector, also for many other challenges that will come, funding, access to funding, and our markets, and even the supply that is not as the way that we want it, and even on a consistent basis, that we can just cannot do so because of the small amount that we get, which are wanted by everyone for their captives and who are our clients. Chairperson, with your permission and honorable members, I'm going to end here with a brief presentation, and then I will be taking questions from you. Thank you.
Okay. That's the first, let me. Can we then first get questions of clarity? Or let me not limit you because you still have some time. Questions of clarity, and let me not limit your views or comments. We'll come back to the petition. So, Honorable Schmidt, Honorable Mandela, Honorable Matlala.
It's not my surname,
Matlala. Honorable Schmidt.
I just put the quick reading to marry this list with this document. I'm not sure how you read it. I just get it out in, sequence out in from the spot. So that I can't find that segment on this list. So I can't read it. I don't know what the how do you extrapolate the information if you've got it. So I'd like an explanation as to how this is married with this. That's the first thing, so we can understand how this works. Mr. Chair, the biggest problem, and I'm going to say so with you, the biggest problem started when the ECT was created. And it was explained in no uncertain terms by the private sector, and in particular by the people, that the work model, or the model to implement, is not workable. It is not workable. And 10 years down the line, many 10 years down the line, we all realize and all accept it. Because of one of the most simple issues are, despite private enterprise that should not have as little state interference at all, but for the single, despite that argument, forget about that argument for the moment, if you have a run of mine, the CEO would tell you that there are diamonds in that package, which is why I should say, which the local companies are not interested at all. It cannot do anything with it. All it can do with it, with due respect, is ship it to India, which can be such a problem. That is a hard reality. It is not something the private sector wants or doesn't want. It cannot do anything because the cost of such a portion is so high in comparison to, I'm not saying it's high in terms of other standards, but it's high in comparison to India and other countries where they have these so-called switch jobs. We've done at, I think last week as I saw in South Africa, the carrot was $32. I'm talking the old figures. I may be wrong in these figures. Whilst in India it may be $8 per carat. These figures are very old for us. But all I'm saying, you are providing information, or you're providing diamonds to a client base who doesn't want a certain sector of that, what we call the process. And now each other guys to please buy, and the guys who can really buy it are the big cutting and polishing companies who can absorb and do have access to other ways of getting rid of these. I think they call Indian diamonds in the colloquial word, the phrase is called actually. So, to make a long story short, it needs a total readjustment, total new. In fact, it needs to be aborted. The whole state diamond trade needs to be aborted because in a natural environment we have something which needs to be bought and sold. Intervention of the state diamond trader does not facilitate those issues in terms of local beneficiation in particular. Because that what you're doing is you're replacing certain individuals with other individuals, all they're doing is exactly the same, and they're shipping it out with the constitution. And more, they're just teaming up with international buyers and they're shipping it out that way. So there's been no impact on the fact that it's had a negative impact on the customer policy industry from I don't know how many thousand to about I think the figure is 800. So what the state diamond trader and the state Second Amendment
Further questions of clarity, comments? The only limitation, I'm not sure whether you can answer the last one that the Honorable Smith was raising. Whether it's this committee that must make that call. Because I'll be honest with you, I've never seen someone who would voluntarily go for assisted suicide or just go for voluntary suicide. I can't stand up here and say dissolve this committee. Because then I must look at, there are many factors that are taken into consideration. So I'm sure that call, as a member of the committee, all of you, it's a call that we might desist and have a debate on it and finally make that conclusion. But I think the actual substantive matter in relation, which is, I think is the point you are raising, the performance of the entity and the limitations thereof that could make it not to achieve what it says, then I think that point is the CEO that must make the call. Sorry, I'm even raising outside. But the point is correct. You can answer that one. But the one of the dissolution of this one, that one is a strong word, destruction, destroying. That's the dissolution or the disestablishment of the entity. I think it's a call that in the final analysis, as a committee, we have to, as to whether also the committee we have got we can establish or disestablish an NDC is another matter. But I'm just saying, I think though to a certain degree, it will be a matter that it requires the committee itself to ponder on. But with regards to the substantive matter of the viability challenges and other related limitations, be they legislative mandates and so forth, I think those are areas that you operate under that probably you can express as you an opinion or an understanding based on the experience.
Thank you, sir. I would go back to the list and say that this is the now of the society. I indicated Honorable Schmidt in my presentation that the list has been prepared in line with the current segmentation of our clients. But to assist with the reading and aligning to historical information, because that is not historical information. When you see the growth and transformation as well as the applicable access, those are our mandates. Applicable access and growth and transformation, those are our mandate clients. And primarily HDSA clients, primarily new entrants, primarily small clients. That, in relation to the bigger one, really and truly need to pay damage and if it's not been constrained to the run of mind, they would benefit more than they are benefiting now. The reason that now we have been separated into growth and transformation and applicable access is so that therefore we move as from last week towards showing greater impact on the ground. This impact may well not be felt that much by the extractive industry that has been there for many years in the short term, because our focus is therefore on the growth and transformation as well as the future. We want to grow and we want to ensure that the new entrants, the HDSA as well, have a home within this industry, which they didn't have, and it was so difficult for them to participate in tenders as you will recall before the state demonstration. All of them, those that were there at the time, had to compete in open tenders out. And because they don't have money, and because their skills are limited, they will always not be able to win any process. And hence, therefore, the state came up with the intervention and the state demonstrator, you know, we need to see transformation here. And therefore, as a board, we are going to focus on the mandate client. Now, in moving on to them, segmenting them as growth and transformation, we appreciate it because we want to grow the footprint that we put on the ground, where most of these people that are on the first page and the top part of the second page, most of them are useless. They have resources in license, you know. And it is good to work with them because then they know that they can get access to rough diamonds from the state diamond trader. And by and large, work really hard to get them to have this supply. The three that are growth and transformation, this is now our strategy. Ensure that we want to see that where do they go, these three, because over time, ever since we started, these three companies have been, you know, active and growing bit by bit. And now we want to see to what extent with consistent supply they can grow. And we are collecting information from them on a quarterly basis, unlike the other people, they're buying information, because it's important for the project that we are engaged in to therefore assist you on a revolution and have the same damage and not support him. I do want to say on a revolution that this word, even in the corridors of parliament, we call it termination. I don't know how well it's a state damage, but we go there. That was a safe on your own shoes. Then when you get to the leash and the LM, those will combine into one. We combine into one because some of these companies are really large, others are not as large as that. But some of them are, we call them niche because it's one person show here in the traditional industry, you know. When I say traditional, I mean white, you know, industry that has been in the sector for a long time. And so they are all in here. And then the one which stands out on its own as a PPC, we called it that, and we had this privilege because they were working with the provincial government and promised them in terms of job creation in the province, which is the same case where really they're not the Eastern Cape. And so they were
sure.
On the London. It's the same thing in London. So they're supposed to then create jobs and work with the provincial government, and they're supported in the application. By the provincial government, has been out there bringing skills, bringing jobs, and they're in the what is going to be an IDZ, and maybe it is an IDZ. I don't think it is officially. And so that is the only company that came with that angle to the state government trailer. So this is how the segment and the list that will be in relation to traditional information that appears in the presentation. Run of mine, I cannot agree more with you. Mine is a huge constraint for the state and China. Luckily, honorable Smith, I really do not know what the private sector said at the time. In certain knowledge, I am aware in media and information being shared that there were issues around the model of the state and China. There are issues around the money. We buy, we're supposed to buy them, and but we cannot sell it to us. Certainly not the same thing. Because that's a key that we have. And I can't, you know, even the numbers you say, they may not be $32, this is $8 at the moment. They are more in the region of like $16 to $50 in the country. That's what is going on. But this is a phenomenon that's happening all over the world. You know, Delta, decades ago, Antwerp had more than 30,000 in the current population. Today, they are less than 1,000. It is in this shift, you know, evolution. Everyone wants the smaller diamonds and the cheaper. To the chickpeas or chicken cuts in India. Israel is the same. But they have the smallest number today of caravan polishers. We find that they're only specialists who cut the large stones in those countries, and they're expensive, very expensive. But in India, they're still not so different. And although they're tripping up as well, you know, but they're not as expensive as South Africa, Botswana, you know, Israel. New York, you know, and even in Africa. This is what has been happening over time. So the international industry, and nothing new about it happening in this country. The only thing that I think probably is the issue at the moment is that we then have a state diamond trader, and maybe whatever the state diamond trader is doing on the ground, and with the HDSA and the new agents, maybe the impact is not yet seen. But if we survive the termination, you will see the impact. I don't know what's going to happen on the street.
background check. We're doing nothing. We're training, facilitating all kinds of things for the HDSA, the new players. Apart from just taking them to international markets, just locally, what we're doing with it, you know. And we can see the excitement and the energy, especially among the younger children. And you can see some that has really been growing over time. And you can see it. And you can see it how as well. When the new ones that are using us and come in to hear them, they're not coming with the old ones who are still HDSAs and small businesses. They are coming to share their skills and, you know, enjoying some of the examinations. So the battle of the HDSA is strong. The battle of the HDSA is part of the industry is long. And we're prepared to work with it and fight until we get something. Provided we provide the information. And I love them. Indeed, there are those that are real sectors, and some of them are like your niche, you know, one person shows, really one man show. And we have not demonstrated, even in our discussions with an individual, an intention to grow. And they just want to be the small player. Like the culture, traditional industry, they're white, or maybe Jewish, or maybe Indian, or, you know, really starting mostly Jewish. You know, so we just work with them. Unfortunately, we don't license, but when we get them, they apply for us, then they indicate it. And I know that we still have those 0% up to 15%, but I think on the whole, we're not doing that on the moment. In terms of looking at the policy, but we are still working on it. We're trying to get those that are on 15% and want to grow to actually come up and meet the, you know, the requirements. Talk to them. And for now, we're on the research.
And
the
follow-up? Honorable Lorima and the Honorable Smith. And I comment. You must not practice on that, no? Okay.
Nice to see you. Just a comment which you may or may not want to speak to, but my original question was who the largest clients of the state commentator, which hasn't really cleared that up. Secondly, I believe that smaller mines are not currently selling diamonds to the state diamond trader because of a court case which has been pending for some time. Could you give us some explanation as to the basis of that case and let us know how long it's been going on and what you expect the next step to be? Thirdly, this is a very broad one. Everybody's talking about the limitations of the governing legislation. And if we were to talk of changing the shape of the state diamond trader rather than simply terminating, would you be able to give us a few points on what needs to be changed to make the model work? Is there a model that could work, in your opinion? I'd like to hear.
Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to call you Madam Chair today.
I'm not pretty, I'm handsome.
You won't ask my opinion, will you? But can I say, I think my question, Mr. Lorimer, with reference to you, is more particular. Also, if you would like to answer that question, with regards to the Indian good diamonds, the small stuff, that seems to be somehow a problem. But can I also ask, and that is, did you envision in that proposed solution you may give, that things like special economic zones may be a part of the solution to a problem? Because
benefit in terms of tax as much as it would have otherwise. The consequence to the economy, the benefit to the economy, the creation of work, of jobs, all that eventually benefits in a more indirect but more full extent in terms of the growth of the economy in South Africa, rather than having and ensuring that people within special economic zones, companies are established, jobs are provided, and so on. So those are issues in your consideration of your possible solution.
No other question?
I'm going to ask our legal officer to talk to the second session concerning the legal argument on the case. Now, we are therefore a price taker. We must at the same moment declare fair you pay half the cost. You don't appoint these people. All you get for them is a good pay. And then we pay half the cost and the producer pays half. And when we find that we still can't buy, then we've lost what it will take as a half box of the place and the location. When countries, you know, countries layer, we then get legislation that has caused them changes. You know, this is how we are. And these are things that we want therefore to look into. We are looking into in terms of these legislative changes that we're talking about. There's something that we have. We can't stay in a commercial space and the effect that we will have to do. Because we're constraining us and we need to be able to do something about that. Why are we things of God? Let's do the legislation that we are able to buy from other governments to different nations. It could be Russia. It could be Canada. It could be Angola, any country. But we've done a cost benefit analysis of that. And we know that by the time we bring those diamonds in this country, nobody wants to buy them from us. You know, they're very expensive. You know, sending people to wherever in the world to do the evaluation and to buy and then to bring those diamonds to call up the credit, it's just prohibitive cost for us. So we decided that while we're looking into how this can be done, this is not enough because we can't be able to sit down and show the agency. So there are many things that we still need to change. And I would like to couple that with the question that was raised by Honorable Schmidt around SDGs. That if we have a properly set up SDGs and people are able to get the kind of incentives that people get in SDGs all over the world, you could see job creation. You could. Because it's not only going to be those, you know, who are in the industry there, but the major industry that is supporting, they are providing full service to the industry, would also be there. But there could well be this thing around maybe which we, you know, they keep on raising it, that we're not, you know, we're looking at it slightly differently. That maybe with people within the SDGs maybe not paying VAT, then they could have more cash flow in their hands to be able to continue. Because sometimes they say they wait 2 months, 3 months for the VAT to come back. And I don't think that they're saying they don't want to pay VAT, but it's just the efficiencies around how we can take where they take for them to come back to them. And so with incentives and the properly set up businesses and HDSA, just keeping and possibly the whole of SADC, you know, using such, you know, facilities, a whole lot can be done. Some economic forces will come out of that. And so the move by whether the housing problems or national treasury looking at SDGs and all that, is really something that we're looking at the great issue because we can see what it matters to people. And not our law to the state and I'm sure that people survive the termination, but the loss of the local industry. And so we think that would be what we're saying about a whole lot of economic benefits to the country, you know, and economic profits. So there would be a solution, you know, in the movement. Go in there, they will go and operate from there. Because we are there in the industry and you know we go through all the pains and the benefits of the industry and everything. Indian goods, these are generally small, you know, -3 donors. When I say -3 donors, I'm talking about garments, there could be a small sugar pebble. You know, really small. Some of, you know, really good quality diamonds. And you find that the team would use them in watches and all of that, so similar. But then the court, and some of the scale of them in other centers is not there to cut and polish those tiny or so stones. Because even in Mumbai, they don't cut and polish those sizes. You find them in outlying areas, not even so that less of them. You know, that they cut and punish those small diamonds. talking about minor children that are in the room and all over the world. They are affected as such because the skill and the cost benefit the benefit is more if they are cutting out. But of course, even plus children, we still have bottom end wood. Because what the local industry wants is the gem quality and near gem quality. Immediately it's bought and all others and the bottom end wood, they don't want to cut that. You know, and so they still, even with the large one, this could be cut 10 from a cutter, from 8 cutters. But if they are still bottom end, then no one will want to cut it. Happens with it. When you look at the mind of cutting it, most of those diamonds are full of chlorophyll. You know? No one wants it. You know, immediately we see that there is high chlorophyll, blue chlorophyll in there. You know, we walk away from it. Because we know that people are going to buy them from us. Unless we have signs that we've used them in America, show these and people like them, you know, diamonds that shine in the night and all of that. They just don't want those chlorophyll. So there are a number of challenges that we face, but within all of that, we still want to also grow the local consumer in this country. So that people make a choice to buy and consume all of the diamonds because they need the strong bed. I'm saying that quietly because I'm not discussing with at all. But I'm just saying that people can make a better choice and say this is mine in South Africa, chocolate in South Africa. Don't bring away it to the reason. We are wanting to grow that. You know, through our marketing strategy, some of our fellows there are talking to us and to pushing us towards getting local consumers to appreciate what is in the country and use, you know, those bonuses, performance bonuses, whatever money they have to buy this natural gem instead of buying bags and shoes and other things.
Sometimes going to court, man, I always I avoid this. I'm not saying you should not, but going to court, it actually means that there is a line that has been drawn, and somebody else, you are incapable of resolving your own issue. Somebody else must decide. And I'm not sure really whether that case is a battle about the interpretation of law of establishment, but being the case is all. It's about a matter of differences of opinion, which could include the existence of the entity, amongst other things. Because that's some of the things I sometimes believe people can. I would have known to what extent is the department, because an entity established by the state. And, under the auspices of the Department of Minerals. To what extent does it try to facilitate parties? Because to a certain degree, it could also be part of what you are submitting now has been negatively affected. I would know, sitting here, they could have been negatively affected by the very same case. Elements of uncertainty and relevance of trade could also be affected. Once you've got a case, they become doubts to other sites. I would know to what extent has that had an impact on how the entity operates. But again, I'm very skeptical to go into details on a matter in front of a judge or a magistrate now. But one would have been much more interested to know the impact of the case in the list, because at some point those people are trading in the same terrain. You might be expecting them tomorrow that they must become your client. And I'm not sure how willing they are now. And what then becomes a post relationship when that decision has been taken. I'm not a facilitator, unfortunately, but I'm not blaming anyone. But when you are in the same, you are expected to work together. I pulled the outcome of the case, it actually suggests there will be high levels of animosity. Discomfort, but maybe it's a matter that we might have to on your side. Obviously, as defending, but if one had been aware, it might be a matter that we should have tried to interact with the department to see to what extent is it aware, and without interfering with what you do. But has there been a way of trying to find a middle way? Maybe you can answer that question if you can. The second thing, which now takes me to the other problems, looking at what was the primary reason of presentation, is either we have a problem with the mandate, which in my view might be different. Looking at the presentation, besides the preliminary area, there seem to be tacitly a concession, though it's not open, tacitly a concession that not much has been done in terms of beneficiation. I can't draw the distinction whether, particularly on your HDSA, I can't draw a distinction whether that problem emerges as a result of the establishing mandate being a limiting one. Probably could have been an error also on our side. Maybe we should have, when we're dealing with this issue, put together yourselves and the regulator so that we can see to what extent does the regulator, in relation to its regulation mandate, is it monitoring the effectiveness of what it seeks to do. I'm coming to the point that I think I'm saying it remains with the committee, but I think it becomes relevant so that if the committee tries to assist or wants to make an objective analysis and an objective intervention, it is much more aware of the concrete challenge. For an example, there is some where you make mention to the fact that of the purchases. And I understand the reason, the run of mines, which now is at 4%, even below the 10%, which is an issue. And we have just recently dealt with the budget. One can't get a sense here whether do you have a... Because if it's going to be a matter of effectiveness, I can't get whether it's a question of access to capital in terms of your interventions and facilitation that seeks to increase your client base. I can't get to what extent. I understand to train, encourage, take people to, but concretely, what is it that capacitates or that makes those to feel that they are supposed to be active players? Otherwise, probably we'll go back to the same problem of the funding model. Because if to me the state government said, I understand the marketing, sit there and say, no, ours is this one. It doesn't take a deliberate program of ensuring, because marketing on its own, it doesn't address the problem. But in my view, I can't get something that deliberately now seeks to intervene and say, we will even go to the extent of saying, this is what, in terms of the, of because surely when you deal with some of these, in terms of financial capacity and limitations, they will be there, but to what extent does that intervention? So I, unfortunately, when I read here, when we talk of beneficiation, I cannot get the sense that others will argue and say the assumption would have been a deliberate one, that that existence seeks now to bring in new role players in an industry that has been historically closed to them. And in terms of therefore building that momentum, there is no sense. Honorable Smith?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I don't want to hold the issue, but I think it's very broadly speaking. The EBT basically, the notion was that the East of the Forest, put it this way, the views had a system where they had a simple sorting system. As far as I understand, wherever the diamonds were mined, they were evaluated, they were transferred. They would go to central sorting houses all over the world. They come to the central sorting house. But the value of that, which was exported, was noted. It was an agreement that the value of goods would come back in different forms and shapes and sizes and whatever, but the value of it would come back. So the value, and for the purpose of Indian goods, for instance, would stay, and those bottom end stuff would stay in India and wherever else. So that arrangement facilitated more cutters and polishers to be able to survive, because there was less, let's call it uncuttable stuff, profitably uncuttable stuff. So now you shrunk the market in terms of that what is tradable and cuttable and polishable. South Africa. The only point I'm trying to make is, by the introduction of the state on the trade into the system, the deals took back. That's how they came. They said, okay, the system was changed. And now, as you know, well, let's leave that out, but it needs to be replaced. That incentive, let's call it incentive, to bring stuff back which is cuttable and polishable and so on. Needs to be replaced with something else. And that something else is back to SEG events or some other form of market mechanism. But the issues originated with, and everyone always said, I don't have access to diamonds. And one would ask them, what is billions of diamonds you can buy on a market or from the beard or at their own, what do they call them? Not trading houses, what do they call them? They've got the offices, let's say, in North West. But it was small trading houses, whatever. But that purchase is to a certain extent, the accessibility was not a physical accessibility, it was a financial pricing of the diamond. And therefore they said, but if the diamond price is too high, I can't access the diamond. But it wasn't a physical access. I think the state diamond trader's existence was to say, listen, I'm going to buy it from the diamond mine at a fair market value. But the distribution mechanism, which was intended for the HDSA group, was not a success.
successful model because of the fact that you had, you don't have a market or the environment, the environment within which they say down traders cannot be, should be replaced with something else. Whether it is bringing in a system similar to this, to what the viewers have, and you can't do it because you don't have that access, must be replaced with something else. So the conditions within which the state down trader function is inherently a problematic system if you're working on fair market value, which is then to be bought by SDSs, which normally don't have this high level of skills. It requires it over time, it does. But in the meantime, you need to sustain it in a way, and SEZ or whichever other way which is to be considered. So, all I'm saying is that system which to be there to facilitate the market needs to be replaced with something else. That is how the strong diamond cutting polishing industry always operates in South Africa. So it was artificially stimulated, like for that. It needs to be stimulated in a different way, where you have economic enterprise.
I get your point, Mr. Smith. That point goes for the comment.
That is basically able to inform us as to whether our thinking is right or wrong or something of the sort.
That matter will still rest with us. Can we get clarity on the case? No, she knows what I asked.
Thank you. In relation to the case, Honorable Schmidt from the other side has spoken largely about the challenge of faith that is being demonstrated on the trade of the state, and that essentially is what the case is about. In terms of the law, the producers must show up their success, so they are not able to do what they need to do before the state demonstrates their success. And in terms of the law, it's no mention any of the now they're in a situation where there was an entity which could use a group because they were made a patient of faith and by up to 10%, which was not acceptable to control issues at this time. And that is the reason we think of the report. You spoke earlier about the department. So the department manager is also responsible and just spoke about whether it has tried to become facilitate and bring the parties together. No, that does not happen in terms of facilitation, but I can safely say that the department has also conceded, the minister has also conceded, the regulator is also part of the question. As well as the finance minister, Chair, because there is also the export lady there, which is which fits with the national treasury. Chair, we can report that a few of the small producers have broken ranks, and we now can say that we have a relationship with them. So in as much as the court case has not been finalized, some of them we have been able to form relationships and proceed forward. The issue really now with the case, as far as the time of children is concerned, is the issue that we are not going to be able to keep that.
The impact?
I was just mentioning the impact. When you look at the country information on diamond produced, that is published by the Kimberley Process, you can see that what we see in the state diamond trader is around 96-97%. So the impact would therefore be that the small players would account for the last 3-4%. You know, when we look at our own records from where we see the full 100% and not annually, we then report to the Kimberley Process, not us, but the country reports to the Kimberley Process on the number. So the impact is minimal. But what could well be is that what is minimal in terms of volume, because they are mining alluvial diamonds along the Orange River, probably are mining higher value diamonds. numbers are here is more different from our numbers, annual numbers, and the KQ numbers. Congressman Smith, I think that probably even the viewers will share with you that the vehicles that this country has about only around seven stakeholders. It's a problem, even for them. They're not having a good job, you know. They need to make money because they are able to take a part of the pipeline. But they're not having a good time. And also, it just doesn't work well. But none of those stakeholders of other African region any race group in South Africa. There's an international player which has home everywhere else in the world. So the private sector on its own has got something to, you know, to shape up. They need to shape up. Because it doesn't work that, you know, they may publish the names of stakeholders and none of them are actually paid. So what is going on out there? So we will do our best. We may not be staying in our strategy, but we want them to grow and eventually become stakeholders. That's not what we say. But we want to grow these companies, we work with them so they grow and become larger. One of their benefits maybe at that point would be when they can apply to the PS one road of limited. So it's out there that they also know that they need to clean up their society. We can't go on like this. They can't go on like this. We need to go to the future. But we do work together, all of us. Maybe not only them on the internet. They are working together and we are hoping for a way forward from them. You know? Definitely not a feminine thing. I'm way too much in there.
It's often not fun.
I am still amazed that the word used on the machine. Secondly, I know that the question that you asked is that, you know, it did raise the issue of SACPO and then what we came here for and all the other issues that we're talking about. Indeed, the proclamation says up to 10%. As I said, only in 1 year, where we thought maybe now we're thinking that is saying between the recession of 2008 and now, it probably was what economists call a W effect, where we saw a spike and then we were able to buy, you know, 8%, you know, from the local industry. And then we went down and we plateaued, you know, in terms of our revenues, around $500 million, you know. But, not revenues, about turnover, bringing around $500 million. So, this is where we are. We want to go up to the 4%, to the 10%. But some of the things that we're doing with the producers at this point in time, in terms of just buying from them from time to time on the local industry now, just means that then in terms of the volume, we're getting less, but at the same time getting what we can sell and not keep stock that no one wants to buy from us. Yes, the small players, particularly HPSA players, they have a serious issue around access to funding. Serious issue. Because they just don't have the capacity to meet the lending criteria of banks and of anyone out there. And this is a challenge that we're working with. We've approached a number of the funding agencies, where we found that they know nothing about them. Now we have to take them step by step and say, this is what it's about. One of them actually asked us to do a funding framework. How would they fund a diamond player? We sat down. This is not our capability. But we sat down and we put the whole document together. And now we submitted it back to them and we're working on this and to see whether they'll consider it. It doesn't say that they will secure the funds. But that's another challenge. Capacity building as much as possible. We go to the state, to other people out there. Whether it's the PCI, NQA, or the DAs and others, we knock on their doors and negotiate for training. And so in our facilitation of that, we do all the time. But as I said, the impact of of most of the work that we're doing now is in the future. But depending on what the future will look like. So, Chair, I don't know about the model and budget and in terms of state funding for the trader or not. Maybe with a new model, maybe something will come back. I really don't know. But all of those things are still in the pipeline. I think that Chair will answer all the questions. Thank you.
I wanted to run the funeral.
Concluding remarks from me. I originally started pursuing this line of inquiry because there was a suspicion that the State Diamond trader was benefiting a small handful of companies rather than growing the industry, which is what it was set up to do. Nothing that I've heard so far convinces me that it is not merely benefiting a small group of companies. Turning to the court case, I don't know very much about it, but I can say that from what I understand from small producers, they believe that if they lose the case and have to comply with the Act, they'll go out of business because their costs will escalate. For example, they'll have to take their diamonds to the SDT to be inspected, so the run of mine can be inspected. Spectators, not buyers. And this is a sector which is already struggling. I mean, we've gone down in the last 10 years from some 24,000 employees in the small diamond sector to about 4,000. That's where the impact is. It may not be great in terms of the big picture, but in terms of all those people who no longer have jobs, it's got a huge impact. Listening to the State Diamond Trader, it seems that the current model may only be able to work if it's given more power to intervene and direct the market. My belief is that that would just destroy the industry even further. But we're still sitting with the problem, well, how do we create new players, HDSA players in this industry? And I think we really do have to look at a new model. And that model may be something different. It may be but the two things we need to create these players are one, knowledge, and two, financing. And perhaps the State Diamond Trader should morph into something that is a funding agency for these businesses. I don't know. I mean, it's a huge question which I'm really not able to answer. I'll leave it there.
Okay. Honourable members, can we agree that the first part, and I will... which will be my appeal from the chair. It has been a very strenuous one. I hope that experience won't happen again, where we have to throw each other with papers. My appeal first to the State Diamond Trader, where you have got challenges as a committee, not just myself as a chair, but not only myself as a chair, but also as a committee. It would be highly appreciated that the information where you face challenges is brought to the attention so that we all tackle and find a new way. So that my own concern has always been the turnaround time. That when you agree on something, you then get it on the day that there is this problem. Instead of finding a way of facilitating so that we all reach a stage where we are not compelled now by who I am and who you are, and at the end of final analysis, there should be no battle of winners and losers. It should be a mutual working relationship. And I hope from now onwards we'll never face a situation like that one. We will work very mutually. Mm-hmm. And whatever the limitations, let them be brought to our attention in good time so that we don't have that problem. Secondly, I think let's agree on the issue to all honourable members. You see, my theory is quite a simple one, and my philosophy. If there is something, let's just put it on the table. It might have helped. You see, the issue of the honestly was not aware of the court case. I'm not someone who said no. But sometimes if we are made aware, it doesn't have to look that this reason. But also, to some degree, sometimes when we want an information, it helps to say we want the information for 1, 2, 3, so that when that person responds, the purpose of why we demand the information becomes clear. I've seen sometimes instances where information is provided after the meeting, it is different that if I was aware, I would have raised this issue. So not only for committee members, for me, any information is quite relevant so that we can be able effectively to deal with the issues in a very thorough way. The third point, I think let's agree, committee members, the issue of minerals, and in this case what we are dealing with diamond industry, it might be requiring, I hope your indama will, but I don't think it will do justice. It might require that we might have an extensive discussion, including the role of economic development department. We may not have to go and look at, I'm saying some point may not be now, let's have an engagement as a committee. Whether do we need to establish an agency or there are agencies that exist, the question is whether their funding model will suit what we're talking about at this current conjunction. For sometimes these agencies on their own, they become a cost by virtue of their own establishment. So for me, I'm saying from what is existing, the linkages between what we do as mineral resources, but also what is being done by economic development and your small business, maybe the committee must look much broader to say, here are those challenges. And I think we must encourage also the state diamond trade to begin to look onto those issues. The last point that I think it will remain to be a crucial matter of the committee dealing with the department is to what extent can we deal, if my honorable members remember, the regulator when they were here, they talked about the creation of the board, which they said it might assist in terms of addressing some of the limitations in the diamond industry. The fundamental question is whether you want to separate the two. So there are other processes that we'll be able to kick in. And I think down the line, we will try and formulate a way in which we think we can respond. I don't want us to deal with the issue of the relevancy, the disestablishment, or whatever. But surely we must agree there has to be a way where the question of approaching the matters that relate to mineral resources, and particularly different mineral resources that we are going to be having, including, I'm not taking away the fact that there are processes that will include the issue of the state mining companies. Because if you will have a state diamond trade and you've got a state mining company on this side, I'm not sure even when that eventuality comes in, what implications it will have. Where will you trade, and whether you will not have to be forced to trade with one specific area and the control and authority is one still. So I'm saying that discussion, unfortunately, you can't run away from as a committee. We will have in the final analysis to be seized with that exercise. I'm not taking away the point of the disestablishment, but I so hope and wish, lastly, that the court case, in my view, I still maintain, I may not be agreeing completely, but I think there is a point also that Honorable Lorima is raising. There has never been harmony post a process of antagonism, and it may not fall to the state diamond trade, but I think down the line you'll have to find a way of engaging with the department and see proactively how do we manage a seamless process post the ruling. But still I'm of the view that sometimes to take that matter to the extent that the judge must make a ruling may not necessarily, but unfortunately we can't interfere with that process. But if I was aware, maybe we could have, even during the process of the budget processes, we could have found a way to deal with the department that we get clarity. But I don't think everything is lost. We will find a way of dealing with the department in relation to what could be, even on the late hour, a better way so that there is no antagonism post the declaration of a judge's order rather than of parties. On that note, honorable members, let's see you. I'm sure we are done with you can be released. You are not abolished.
Can I say one thing, Chairman?
Yes.
With your permission. The Honorable Dorema. Let's see, just to know that when we inspect the animal, we don't expect people to come here. We actually go to wherever we want them to go. We go everywhere where the knives are. It's not them that come to us. I just wanted to allay the fear for the police.
Just something I've been
told,
so maybe
we'll
give
us a
delay with some other
people. Okay. Can we now go to the minutes? Let's deal with corrections first. The minutes are the minutes of the 29th of April. That's a two-page. 29th April. Page one. Yes.
The Honorable Makala. His name is not appearing on the apologies. Because as far as I know, the Honorable Makala will send an apology letter, and the certificate from the doctor is being provided. And to my surprise, the name of Honorable Makala not appearing on the apologies. I'd like to have a clarity to that honorable chair. Thank you.
The secretary will respond, but I don't want to respond for the secretary. Ross?
Thank you, Honorable Makala. I didn't receive anything to that effect. Hence, your name is not there. I'm not sure where the letter or who you were it was sent to. As soon as I've got the letter, I'll record it.
The letter was caught up between the sitting of the meeting and the time it went up until today. But if the letter was forwarded, then the I don't think we even need to just take notes. The apologies and apologies. Please, you said there is a letter. I thought you said you phoned me or somebody else. But now, you said there is a letter.
Yes, sir. The PA for the Honorable Makala was requested, that instructed by the Honorable Makala to submit the letter. From the doctor, hence the Honorable Mr. Makala was not feeling well by the time when the committee had its own meeting. Thank you.
No, the starting point then will be with the secretary of the Honorable Makala. That Honorable Makala must verify whether the secretary did forward the letter and must get proof thereof. Honorable Smith? Page 2.
I was just going to say that I now understand why you understand this class. Because the way you deal with that answer was.
Page 2. No correction. Matters arising. Page 1. Oh, any move of the minute. Because you can't deal with matters arising or something that doesn't exist. Honorable Mandel.
You can't.
you can't deal with the matters arising in an act of 10 minutes. Honorable Mande.
Thank you, sir. Now, if I heard you correctly, I would like to move for the adoption of the minutes of 29 April 2015 as outlined. Thank you.
Any second, sir? Honorable Nyambi. Okay. Honorable Natal.
Yes, I was not part of this meeting, but it must be seconded by the Honorable Nyambi, a good correction of the name of Mr. Matala, not appearing on the apology sheet. It must be noted in the minutes.
Yeah. We have dealt with the matter, Honorable Matala. Can we go past it? Okay. On the on the announcement, you know, there was a man one day. He came to a meeting carrying files to prove that this is what I've done. I've done matters arising. Was there any matters arising? No. You see, he's trying to propose to me now. Okay, on announcement, honorable members, the first issue is that we have sent the application to, as we have reported, for the study tour. Hopefully we are going to get the approval, but subsequent to that we have met also with other study, with other portfolio committee chairpersons. They have also raised the issue that we should undertake a collective journey of the study tour. We will see, because we said it's up to them to make that similar application, because you will recall beside us it's energy, it's water and sanitation, as well as environment, environmental affairs. So portfolio committee will require also, but we are trying to facilitate and where possible. But ours for now, it's only for the portfolio committee. I think in terms of the administrative or the procedural issues, members will deal directly with the secretary of the committee, but those who may not be, especially if it's a known, it's better if they indicate in advance that they will not be able to undertake the journey. I think that is the first point. The second one is that we have not received yet a feedback from the JTM on the referral that was made. So as soon as the chief honourable members know, we will go through the normal process. Even if the committee is not sitting, we will do the normal processes, which include that's what we told as a process, referral to the House for conferral purposes. So we will deal with that issue, but it's a matter that we are handling as well. I think on that note, those are the two updates so far that I think they remain relevant to the committee. Is there any other one that I thought I'm forgetting? Oh yes, next week we've got a joint meeting with the finance and trade and industry. What we are trying to make, I'm still working, I've not seen the chair is not around, but I thought it's from finance, because we don't see the reason why we should have, because in terms of the agenda now, the agenda wants all committees to present, to give more like a report. Our view is that we have worked with finance, the concrete work done, so that it should be just one report. The transfer price, together with trade and industry now. But I was told also appropriations were asking why are they excluded from that meeting. I've not been able to see the secretary. But next week, which is the 20th, we've got a joint meeting with finance and trade and industry program. So we're working on the program today. On that note, honorable member, you are released in less than 2 hours of your meeting. Thank you very much. The meeting stand adjourned. We are told there is some damage that you need to manage at the back here. Yeah,